Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with spring break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players, start playing with just $5 and get 100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code COLLEGEDRAFT to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Ross Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
It's Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast, presented, of course, not only, as always, by DraftKings, but also by 1-800-Flowers.com, DraftKings' official flowers for Valentine's. We are coming to you from the Super Bowl on Radio Row. You can always check me out on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL, at Ross Tucker Pod. And I love this show, especially after this past week, because I love getting a chance to talk to my guy, Emery Hunt. Check him out on social media at FBall Game Plan on Twitter or Football Game Plan on YouTube. Emery, there's a lot to get into. Just in the course of the last week or so, I like to give you a blank slate. You were at the Senior Bowl all week doing great work for CBS Sports HQ and there, of course, for your football game plan draft guide, which I highly recommend people check out, footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide. What were some of your biggest takeaways from the Senior Bowl?
Well, it's the fact that, you know, when you think about the Senior Bowl coming in, I just felt like this is the first year I felt like, and this was the overarching theme for the entire All-Star Game circuit. I just felt like there wasn't a lot of buzz around these All-Star Games. Like, there used to be a buzz about, man, the Senior Bowl is coming in, you start to see stuff come out. Same with the Shrine Game and whatnot. And I came to realize maybe it's due to the fact that we've seen a lot of these guys for 5 and 6 years. So you kind of know them. There's no real surprise. There's no real intrigue. And it was a good event, though. Don't get me wrong. The Senior Bowl was excellent. So it was a Shrine Game. And, you know, when you think about being out there, you're seeing Michael Penix. Man, we've seen Michael Penix since Indiana. You know, we've seen Bo Nix since Auburn. And I just felt like the buzz that we usually see around All-Star Games just kind of wasn't there this year, in my opinion.
That's interesting. I didn't notice that. I guess, you know, what's funny about that is it seems like it really depends on who you follow on social media and what it is that they're saying on social media. Because some of the people I follow, like Lewis Riddick or Field Yates or people like that, they were all over the Senior Bowl. So I almost felt like I saw more Senior Bowl stuff this year than I normally do.
Well, yeah, and again, they work for ESPN, so they have to because they're covering the game, right? So they kind of have to be out there pumping it up. But when you think about the on-field product, still top-tier athletes, and I always say this too, by the Senior Bowl, you know, again, because I've gone through the U Sports East-West Bowl up in Canada this past year. It was in Hamilton, so I'm there to the FCS Bowl, to the College Gridiron Showcase, to the Hula Bowl, to the Tropical Bowl, Shrine Game, here, every step, Ross, the uptick in athleticism and explosiveness and size is evident when you, once you get to the last game, right, or the second to last game, because we got the HBCU Legacy Bowl in a couple of weeks. But this year's crop, still, you know, impressed with the level of athleticism. The quarterbacks were, I thought, solid this year. The crop that they brought in, Spencer Rattler, Joe Milton, we saw Carter Bradley for 3 All-Star games. You know, so it was cool to see that. You got to see Penix and Bo Nix, Sam Hartman. So I thought this crop of quarterbacks with, you know, obviously people have their minds set on the top 3 guys or whatnot, but this was a, hey, who's going to be that day 2 type of guy? And I thought this was a good year for that as well.
You know, I felt like, Emery, it's interesting because I felt like I used to hear more about the Shrine Game when it was its own game and when the game was a week earlier. I don't know why it, and I'm not as involved in that world as you are. I don't know why they switch it, but I feel like having it be, I don't even know when the game is, and does it overlap with the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, the game is actually the Thursday night. So as the practices are wrapping up for the Senior Bowl, the Shrine Bowl game is kicking off that night. So it's an overlap. I miss the old days when everything was, you know, had its own week. So gave guys an opportunity to get called up to other games. Now we saw this happen with the Hula Bowl and the Shrine Bowl, where 40 guys got called up from the Hula Bowl to play in the Shrine Bowl. So that was excellent to see. But not many got called up from the Shrine to the Senior Bowl because of the overlapping week and the amount of practices. So it does make it tough. Maybe that's another reason why, you know, you got stuff sandwiched in there. This was the first year without the NFLPA Bowl. So you have that going on too. So it was a unique year. Although I will say this, the Shrine Bowl being in at the Star, outstanding event place to hold in the All-Star Game, Ross. I know they'll be there next year. That was a great venue. It was great to watch All-Star Games in controlled climate conditions. Easy access to, you know, restaurants right after practice, like literally walking out the facility. There's restaurants right there. And the Senior Bowl is still that tradition-rich feel because you're getting there and, you know, it's the whole town is involved with, you know, you're at the Senior Bowl because all of Mobile is involved with the Senior Bowl. And that's always great to see where a town takes ownership of the game. And it gives you that nostalgic feel of what we used to grow up watching when it was, what, the Dell Champs Senior Bowl before it now has gone to Reese's. Dell Champs is a Southern regional grocery chain, you know? So it's cool to see now that, the games that we grew up watching is now the same, still has the same small town feel to it.
All right, so let's dive into some of the players in particular. Emery, you called it, man. You called it. Last Monday on this show, the College Draft Podcast, you said, I think Spencer Rattler's going to have a big week, and I didn't hear that from you afterwards. I heard it from Lewis Riddick and other people that Spencer Rattler had a good week. People do not like, Emery, at all, the fact that you think Spencer Rattler is QB3.
I don't, Ross, you would think after watching this show for the amount of years that I've been on it, for the folks that have been following me on social media and on YouTube for as long as I've been doing it, that they would realize that I don't say stuff just to say stuff. You know, I'm saying what I see, and it may sound radical, it may sound crazy in the moment, but when we fast forward months later, it's like, wow, he actually was right. And also, and most importantly, Ross, you would think people would know by now that I don't care. So at the end of the day, I'm going to say what I feel and say what I see, whether I'm right or wrong. And Spencer Rattler had a great week. And what's crazy is that people forget how great he was initially at Oklahoma. And yes, he had a downward spiral at Oklahoma, and there's no fault in losing your job to potentially the number one overall pick and reigning Heisman Trophy winner, former Heisman Trophy winner, right? It's not like he was some scrub that ended up taking his job. But then you saw him at South Carolina, the back end of the 2022 season, do really well. Built on that this year at South Carolina, despite the offensive line issues they had throughout the year. So he's trending back upwards to what we saw from him right out of the gate at Oklahoma. So Spencer Rattler, to me, and he said all the right things. He's done the right things. You heard no qualms about his leadership skills at South Carolina. So it shows you the maturity, the growth, and all throughout the week from the interviews I watch him do with other folks out there at the Senior Bowl, the introspective nature of his, yeah, you know, I've grown a lot. That's cool to see. So yeah, he may be someone that may not go in round one. He may go in round two, but I feel like he's a starter in the NFL. And like I said before, if I needed a quarterback in round one and I'm at the, you know, where the Raiders are, where the Steelers are, I'm taking Spencer Rattler.
What did he do all week that was so impressive compared to some of the other guys?
Consistency. And that's always a key, right? Because we saw Michael Penix have a great week, a great day initially right out of the gate. And then the next day was kind of inconsistent. Then he kind of got back on the right track, you know, on day three. Bo Nix's best day was day three. I thought finally start to settle in and make some throws and finally connect with some of the receivers on a consistent basis. But Rattler was the same all throughout the week. You know, and to me, that's the mark of someone that can that you take notice of, because you're at an all-star game. We know how hard and difficult it is to find that continuity with guys you haven't worked with. We say this all the time when we're talking about the NFL scouting combine. All-star games are no different. And you, when you add the fact that guys are pressing to impress out there in front of every NFL team, every NFL coach and GM and personnel decision maker, you know, it can be a stressful environment. And to be consistent all week speaks volumes for not only Spencer Rattler, but for all of the guys that won those team awards. Like, hey, this is the best running back of the week voted by the players themselves, or the best tight end, the best receiver. That speaks volumes when your peers recognize how consistent you were all throughout the week. And Rattler, to me, this is the consistency. The live arm was there, the ability to throw off platform, the ability to make tight window throws, the ability to throw with touch, timing, anticipation, knowing when to throw with velocity, know when to throw the back shoulder throw. So all of those traits were on display. I was shocked that he came in measured at 6 feet, 215. Yeah, I thought he was like 6'1", even though it's an inch. But, you know, he was a lot shorter than I thought, which doesn't matter to me because, you know, I'm team size. It's not a skill. But it's always shocking to see what the actual measurements are for these guys, because we know how college rosters are so egregious with the height and weight that they list on those websites.
And just to confirm, Emery, who's QB 1 and 2 for you right now? Because I guess I want to just know who Spencer Rattler's ahead of. It sounds like he's ahead of Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy and Penix for you.
And also Drake May. Because right now, my number one is Caleb Williams. My number two is Jayden Daniels. And number three is Spencer Rattler. So for me, Spencer Rattler, just watching him play and watching the tape and having that context of the 4 years that we've seen Spencer Rattler, I like that he's gone through the ups and downs and he's back on that upward trend.
Awesome. Very interesting. I got some other things I want to ask you about that game, but I want first everyone to know, make it easy on yourself this Sunday for the big game. Order in on DoorDash. Now you can root for your squad or your bets or whatever while your food and drinks are on the way. So that means burgers, chips, dips, soda, pizza, wings, so much more, and it's delivered straight to your door. You got to have something to wash it down, of course, Emery. I recommend Labatt. A lot of things are better together. How about drinking Labatt Blue Light while you're listening to a podcast or watching football, living life to the power of we? Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. All right, Emery, who else jumped out to you at the Senior Bowl that we need to talk about?
Quinyon Johnson, cornerback, Toledo. He was a junior, so early entry, and he was able to get to the Senior Bowl. We know that's a thing now, that a lot of guys that have declared can play in these all-star games. But Quinyon Johnson was phenomenal all week long, from day one to day
Mitchell,
to the game.
Right? Mitchell?
Quinyon Mitchell. I'm thinking of Theo Johnson, a tight end out of Penn State. But Quinyon Mitchell was awesome. And here's the thing. We talk about this ad nauseum, Ross, about how heavily slated or slanted one-on-ones are for the offense. So it is impossible to stand out defensively in one-on-ones when these receivers are running these mad bohemian routes, you know, with no help back deep, no linebacker buzzing underneath, no safety help, and he's out there on his 19th cut to run a dig route. You just as a cornerback, like, I have no chance to win. But Quinyon Mitchell was able to win, find the football, find success. I compared his week to what I saw last year from Darius Rush of South Carolina, who was picking off passes in one-on-one. Mitchell was doing the same thing. And after day one, you saw the confidence really, you know, show up and like, all right, I'm about to lock this dude down. I dare you to throw it my way. And he was able to showcase that all throughout the week, whether it's in one-on-ones, 7-on-7, team period. He was excellent. So was Gabe Hall, defensive lineman out of Baylor, who, again, went from dominating day one to coaching guys on day two in terms of, hey, this is how you beat offensive linemen. And he reminded me a lot of Chris Jones, where he's 6'5", 298, and he's playing inside all throughout the week. But you watch him, and you're like, man, he could be a 5 technique. He could even be a 7. So we didn't get to see him play on the outside. We got to see him play mostly inside all throughout the week. But he was another one that just stood out from start to finish. So those two defensive players just really stood out to me as an offensive guy. They really impressed.
I'm curious, Emery, about a couple other guys I was reading about. It's funny because on today's Ross Tucker football podcast, I have Lisa McCaffrey. Not only Christian McCaffrey's mom, but Luke McCaffrey's mom. And I saw him make a couple sweet catches during the week. I got to be honest with you, until I talked to her, until I saw her, saw the highlights, I didn't even know Luke had such a good year playing wide receiver for Rice. And she was very excited about him and it. And I encourage people to check out the Ross Tucker football podcast. But Luke, I mean, he's bounced around a lot. Quarterback in Nebraska to wide receiver at Rice, making some plays.
Here's the thing, Ross. I did a show last night on CBS, and the question was, which wide receiver you think will have the best, you know, the question was kind of loaded. It was like, which wide receiver will have the best NFL career? That's a loaded question coming from a Senior Bowl All-Star game, right? And, you know, everybody was taking Ladd McConkey or, you know, other guys that, you know, the kid from Michigan. I'm like, listen, man, I've watched the NFL since 86. And one thing I know, lineage matters. And so Luke McCaffrey is going to be my pick because he's talented. He's a McCaffrey. So we know he's a great athlete and he's versatile. Man, can you imagine him playing any one of the skill positions? He could tote the rock. He could play quarterback. He's been excellent at receiver and he's a fantastic athlete. So he checks all of those boxes. I think he's going to be an excellent plug and play pro. Do not let him get to the Los Angeles Rams, right? Or anybody of the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan tree, because he's going to be used like a you know, a versatile option that he is, and is going to have success. So he did have a great week of work down there in Mobile, had a great catch in the game. I'm excited about his future, because especially when we get to the combine, because we know he's going to test well, because he's a McCaffrey, and that's all McCaffreys do is test well athletically. The whole family his athletes.
All right, what's sort of next on your schedule, Emery, for the draft and everything moving forward?
Now it's time to dive into the film, Ross. I've graded quarterbacks. I've graded running backs. I'll start fullbacks today. I'll head out there to where you at the Super Bowl on Wednesday, and then I'll be out there until Tuesday. And then, you know, I'll come back here, grade film again, try to get a jump start on tight ends, have that done before I go down to the last All-Star game, which is the HBCU Legacy Bowl in New Orleans from the 19th to the 23rd, and then back again to the combine that final week to early final week of February, early week March, and then after that is all film until late March when the draft guide should be released.
And then you said you're coming out here. What are your Super Bowl week plans?
I will be on set at CBS Sports for Friday, Saturday, and right now it looks like pregame Super Bowl Sunday. So, you know, I get out there on a Wednesday, and, you know, Thursday is, you know, I'll probably hit Radio Row. Sue, who wants to interview the czar, I might come swing by the, you know, swing by the set or whatnot, you know, crash your set or whatnot. and you know, do one of the Ross Tucker football podcast, whichever one you do. You know what I'm saying? I'm probably just come through there and just crash the set and just lay up, kick my feet up. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of walk Radio Row on Thursday, as I have, you know, nothing on my calendar as of yet. But Friday, I know I'm on set. Saturday, I'm on set. And then Sunday, I'm on set as well.
Sounds good to me, man. Well, listen, whether you're hosting game day or movie night, DiGiorno knows that planning a watch party on a budget isn't easy. You need the perfect setting, the perfect squad, and the perfect eats. Luckily, you're a game time mastermind, and you know that grabbing DiGiorno classic crust pizza can bring home a dub because it's packed with half a pound of cheese, sauce, and other toppings and comes at an incredible price. Make the game-winning call and grab a DiGiorno classic crust pizza from the grocery store today. It is not delivery. It's DiGiorno. Anybody else jump out to you, Emery? Just reading some of the notes and some of the other people that stood out, it seemed like, you know, we saw stuff from Braden Fisk, my guy Braden Fisk, the former Western Michigan guy. We had Bordellini and Christian Hayes from Wisconsin and UConn on the O-line. Anybody else jump at you?
Oh, Braden, listen, Fisky was someone that really stood out because, you know, toward the end they did these drills where the offensive line and defensive line challenge each other in one-on-ones, route running. And Fisk was running the routes like he was a tight end. Now, granted, the edge player is a little bit more athletic than the offensive lineman. But so they all look good running routes. They look like tight ends, but Fisk did a great job. I remember he ran this one post corner where he dipped his shoulder, ducked his head, and then dipped out to the corner and caught the football rather well. But Cal's linebacker, Jackson Sermon, Ross, you saw him have an interception in the game or near interception in the game, picking off, I think it was Sam Hartman, or nearly picking him off, but got his hands in the way. There was this one part of practice where there were red zone drills. It was red zone 707. So you're from the 10-yard line going in. Joe Milton is a quarterback. And I thought legit Joe Milton was about to just – I thought he was able to fit the football in between all of Mobile to the receiver running in the back of the end zone. But it was Sermon that caught – like, imagine this, Ross. Imagine standing in front of the pitching machine and about – not even 5 yards away from the pitching machine. I'm talking about right up on the hole with the hands ready to catch the baseball coming out. And that's Joe Milton, right? But Sermon was able to catch this interception with his hands, and he was making plays in a passing game, just jumping in those passing windows. He saw that in the game. We've seen it in practice. The one he caught against Joe Milton, I was like, there's no way his hands are still there, because I just knew they were broken off, because that's how fast the ball came out of Joe Milton's hands. But to me, it was just impressive to see him as a linebacker make that interception on a slant route inside the 10-yard line coming from Bazooka Joe Milton. You know, that was just impressive to see. And he was able to carry that over to the game. I thought all the linebackers look athletic. The Mississippi State kid was another one, too. I'll pull his name right here. But he was another one that really stood out in terms of his athleticism and his ability to trigger. That was Nathaniel Watson. He flying sideline to sideline, jumping in passing windows. I thought those two linebackers really stood out all week long.
Got it. Curious, I want to get your opinion on Jeff Hafley, the BC head coach, going to the Packers as the defensive coordinator, and what that says to you, if anything, about college football right now.
I know folks made a big deal out of what he said about, hey, I'd rather, you know, it's easier to coach in pros than having to deal with everything in college. But, bro, Boston College is a pretty sweet gig. You know, in Boston College, you can recruit at Boston College, and Boston College usually has some good players, and they like football up there at the university. They want to promote the program. It's a great campus and a great, athletic, school that balances athletic and athleticism well. So whoever gets that job is going to walk into a place where they want to win. You're going to be able to recruit. You're going to have some success. I just think that he used that as, you know, he wasn't having the success that he thought he was going to have, and he used the Packers job to kind of poo-poo college football. But that's what it is, man. Every era has dealt with something in college football that it was a seismic change. And, hey, at the end of the day, it is what it is. I'm pretty sure Boston College has some great alum out there in that Northeast Boston, you know, Chestnut Hill area. Get on the phone, get those guys to come be a part of the program and have some fun, man. They just got a fairly new indoor facility out there. Like, man, Boston College, there's a lot of great things about Boston College.
Well, and that's the thing I would say. Like, first of all, it's not like the college football coaches, I guess Jim Harbaugh is, but like, it's not like he was dominating at the college football level, number one. And number two, there's only so many jobs out there. Like, people, there's a million guys that'll jump to get that Boston College job. They'd be ecstatic to be able to get that job. So I'm kind of with you. I think that's a little bit overblown. I also think you need to check out Emory on social media, at FBallGamePlan on Twitter, FootballGamePlan on YouTube, FootballGamePlan.com/2024 draft guide is the key. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on social media. We're at Ross Tucker Pod. Remember, Valentine's Day, 9 days away. So you know I love 100 Flowers. You know I love MyFrontPageStory.com. Send that to me, guaranteed to get a signed press pass. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for tuning in to College Draft. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and Fantasy Feast, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.